Easter is full of surprises. I wonder if you can imagine how surprised Mary Magdalene was when she found that the tomb was empty. It wasn't full, it was empty. Now, I have one egg and one badminton racket. A great combination, I'm sure you'll agree. Now, who thinks that I can hit this egg right to the back of the church? Yeah? I'm probably aiming for you, John Milroy, if that's all right. You're taking a bit of a... Should we have a go? Should we see if we can hit this? Yes or no? Yes? I think the yeses have it. Here we go. Okay, we're going to count down from three. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay, that's what we're going to count down. You ready? Here we go. We're going from 10, actually. It makes it more dramatic. We need Harry to play the drums, actually, a drum roll. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, what's happened? Oh, dear. Didn't even hit the tray, did it? Goodness me, I'm going to be in trouble later. God. Were you expecting that? Were you expecting that? No. Yes, some of you were, some of you were not. Why were you expecting it? Because egg splatter. You can't argue with that. Well, I made a bit of a mess, didn't I? And a bit of a miss as well. I think we should have another go, don't you think? Now, do you think I can hit this one to the back? Shall I hit it into the front row instead? Who wants to try and catch this one? Whoever shouted no the loudest. Should we have another go? We're counting down from 10. You ready? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Woo! What happened? Is it splattered? Why hasn't it splattered? It's empty! What about this one? Did it splatter?
No.
Why? Why didn't it splatter? A bouncy egg. Who ever heard of such a thing? Have you ever heard of a bouncy egg?
Yeah.
Now, what were you expecting when I hit the egg? What were you expecting? You're expecting it to splatter, but what actually happened the second and the third egg? It didn't splatter. It was empty, wasn't it? Now, as I move this tray, which in the end we didn't need because I couldn't throw properly. Maybe the contents of this we can omelette later. But when we were looking at the second and the third egg, we were expecting it to splatter, weren't we? But they were empty. We were expecting it to splatter like the first egg. And Mary Magdalene, she had the same surprise when she came to the tomb of Jesus. She was expecting to see Jesus's body, but she didn't. The egg was empty and the tomb was empty. There was nothing there. Now, as I address those here a little bit older, you'll realize that John in his gospel is giving us testimonies, as we've heard, not just from John's gospel, but from all the gospels, testimonies of people who were there. In both the previous chapter and in this chapter, chapter 20, John tells us this so that we might believe that the tomb was indeed empty. But even so, you'd have to question any lawyer who puts Mary Magdalene on the stand. It's not just that in first century Israel, a woman's testimony was to be disregarded. But in this passage, her testimony, it's not exactly crystal clear, is it? Her testimony is a bit like a splattered egg. And for those two reasons, if you were going to make up a religion, you certainly wouldn't choose Mary Magdalene as the first person to see the resurrected founder. Unless, of course, you weren't making this up. And this is what actually happened. It's a surprise. I wonder if you could imagine Mary there early in the Sunday morning, probably between 3 and 6 a.m., seeing the stone had been removed. And she's running to Simon Peter, as tearful as she is passionate, thinking not a resurrection, but she's thinking grave robbery. They've taken my Lord, as you can see on the screen. She's distraught. She's sad. They can't find the body of Jesus. Mary, of course, is great at jumping to conclusions, but in her mind, Jesus is risen is not one of them. So verse 3, Peter and John, they start out for the tomb, but in a very competitive, male-orientated way. John records, first to the tomb, John. First into the tomb, Peter. First to believe, John. But remember, this is to show us that there were witnesses to the resurrection. And through these witnesses, we here today have the chance to believe. But then after Peter and John go home, Mary's still outside the tomb, crying. Fair to say, throughout history, Mary Magdalene has not exactly had the best press, has she? From Leonardo da Vinci's Femme Fatale to Andrew Lloyd Webber's Jesus Christ Superstar to Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code. But what we're actually told about her in the gospel accounts is that Jesus had cast 7 demons out from her, that she'd been with Jesus throughout his ministry. She'd been at his trial, and then she'd been there when Joseph of Arimathea had put Jesus in the tomb. And as she peers into the tomb, I wonder if you can imagine, crying, what does she see? She sees 2 angels dressed in white. Not a hallucination in her delirious state, but seated there where Jesus' body had been, head and foot. I'm sure many here have done what I've done and visited the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. We have someone from this church soon to go there and support the work. And if you go there, you get a feel for how dark and cold the interiors were of first century tombs. It's a very moving place, even if it isn't necessarily the place. But as Mary peers in, something's missing. Jesus's body is not there. Just the headcloth folded as if to say, don't need that anymore. A sign of completion. And the linen left like the high priest fulfilling the atonement in the most holy place. And the angels there ask, woman, why are you crying? And she explains, they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him. She's looking for a corpse. She expects something inside the tomb, just like we expected something inside our egg, our second egg and our third egg. But she's surprised, it's empty. No dead body, nothing inside. And she turns round to a man who she thinks is the gardener. She doesn't recognize him. And he asks her the very same question. Woman, why are you crying? And then maybe with a smile on his face, who is it you're looking for? You see, as one person wrote, from the perspective of heaven, tears of sadness at the empty tomb of Jesus on Easter morning is the least appropriate response. Because with one word, Jesus reveals himself to her. He says, Mary. Mary, in Aramaic, Miriam. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name. And Mary gasps, Rabboni, something like my dear teacher, a cry of utter relief, though maybe not the words risen Son of God we would place in her mouth if this were being invented. But still that one word from Jesus, Mary, and her world is remade. Her life is changed in an instant. For her, seeing is not believing. Hearing is. And verse 17, Jesus says to her, as she grips his feet, or as her arms embrace him, "Do not hold on to me." Is that a bit rude, Jesus? Do not hold on to me? No, do not hold on to me. Because what's happening here is more than just a restoration of the good old times before Jesus died. It's not Mary's dream of seeing Jesus again somehow coming true. Because do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. There's more in this story to come. It doesn't end here. Mary, when I've ascended to the Father, you'll understand the whole direction that the scriptures have been going. And for us too, this Easter day, we may hold on to Jesus purely through the lens of our own dreams, our own health, our own finances, our own work, our own purposes, our own comforts, our own wants and likes and favorites in church. But no, Jesus says to her and to us, step back and see Jesus as the cosmic king to be crowned, returning to the Father to achieve God's purpose for God's world. See Jesus as the one going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Because friends, that is what the resurrection means. Jesus has made a way for God to be your Father. The sin that keeps us from knowing God, placed upon Jesus on Good Friday, defeated finally and fully when he rose on Resurrection Sunday, so that through faith, God can be your Father. And this morning is a great day to believe that for the first time. If you're here and you're already a believer, whether you're 8 today or whether you're 80 today, like Martin Leonard, congratulations, Martin. Whether you're 8 or whether you're 80, don't hold on to Jesus just for your personal agenda. See Jesus' cosmic plan for his world that involves him going back to the Father. And that cosmic plan, it involves you. Like Mary in our passage, telling others, maybe telling others at school, maybe telling others in your office, maybe telling others in our neighborhood. This wonderful summary of our text in verse 18. I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. Who can you tell on this day of days? I've seen the Lord. Because we need to go out like Mary and proclaim those words. I've seen the Lord. Yes, all the children shared with us earlier, people in the New Testament who had seen with their eyes. But we too, in our hearts, can see the Lord today. Mary was the first witness to this incredible turning point in history. Mary's testimony came as God launched his new age, victory over death and over evil in every form. Because in the resurrection, God's future has arrived in the present. So what a day this is. Because by accepting this eyewitness testimony that Jesus rose from the dead, you and I can believe and share the story too. I've seen the Lord. Make that your testimony today. That's what we're here to declare. If you're here this morning and you don't yet believe that, take time to read John's Gospel. Read it from the beginning and come to your own conclusion. Is this a hopeless hoax or is it fantastic fact?